carve upon my heart the truth that
bless, how blessed we are.
Amen.
You're blessed with the good musician. You're blessed. Thank you, guys. May you be excused. Love to hear good music. There's so much nonsense today. I just, you know, they have those show for Christian, supposedly Christian concert. And, you know, they worship those people. They just go there and the music is so... You know, it gets people to do things, and they jump and jump and jump and jump. But what makes a difference is the life. You know, they go back to their old things. They go back to what they're doing wrong, and they don't have a life. But when you hear a music that is inspired by above, it just changes your mindset. It changes your heart. It makes you want to worship God. Makes you want to enter in to just adore God, you know, because God has needs. People misunderstand that God has a need, many needs. He needs to be worshiped. He needs to be exalted. He needs to be adored. He needs to be loved. He needs to have the first place in your life. And, you know, the devil will do everything he can to make you lose that very important thing, to put him first. And yet, why are we living for? Let us eat, have fun, and die? No, there's a purpose in this life. Let us live for him, that we may be such a testimony to somebody around us, that we'll make the difference to someone around us that will want to have what we have. It has to be real. That life has to be real in us. We cannot walk like the world, and try to attract people by the world. You know, people are trying to attract Christian with worldly music.
Right.
It's wrong, so wrong. It's the devil's trick. And you see those musicians, they're Christian so called, and they have long hair trying to just be rocky in their ways and play all kind of music, and they just are like the world. They want the fame of the world. They want that. They pull for that. They want that. They strive for that. And we strive to worship God. We strive for him to have the first place. We strive for him to have the honor, the glory. This is a nice place. So different. Ceiling is a little higher. God bless you guys. It's good to see you. I'm happy. I'm happy to see you all. It's always a blessing to come here and be with you. It's always an honor, and even to speak. I don't take it lightly, guys. I just really wait upon God and just believe that he has something, because God is in control of everything, and he's very much concerned about each and every one of our needs. He has needs, but he knows we do have needs, and we don't need to make a list. He knows our list. He knows everything. The God that we serve knows everything. And, you know, I was with Cynthia, my sweetheart, and I was with her in the car, and I was going down the road, and I was thinking, how blessed we are, us Christian, that we understand the beginning, and we understand the end. And we won't be finishing like the devil, because the devil knows the beginning and knows the end, and he hates those two books. He hates Genesis, and he hates the Revelation, because he knows the end is the lake of fire. He's going to be destroyed. He hates it. But you know what? All the way through, it tells us who we are. And when you are a Christian, you know that you are in Christ. You have his attributes. You believe that he has made a work. He has made something in you that make you different. And you understand, you know, the insanity that we are seeing around us, we understand, because his time is short. The devil's time is short. And he's trying to bring people into that woke movement. Oh, yeah, they are really woke. They're really woke. I was listening today about DeSantis. DeSantis was saying, or he brought a bill last about 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago, and now people say, we are leaving Florida because they don't allow our boys to be girls. They don't allow our boys to go into girls. But are you boys? And he didn't even say my boy. It's a boy. But he said, they don't allow my girl, my daughter. It's a boy. And it's just insanity. And they believe themselves. That's the sad part. They are in darkness. They love darkness. And they believe in the darkness. And we are children of the light. And we should shine in this dark hour more than ever. I don't want to preach too long tonight. Wednesday night is always a big day for many. I'm thinking of my brother. He woke up so early this morning. I just have mercy for you guys. You know, I just don't want you to fall asleep on me. I'm gonna be short. I only have 5 pages. That's. And you know what? I was preparing today, and I was thinking, Lord, I can put as much writing on this paper, but you know what they need exactly. You know where they're at. And I love to preach to have the young people to understand something, catch something, and the older one as well. Because I do believe that a minister should always be for everybody. It's not only for category. And this message is so simple. It's so simple. That when you understand that, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, wanting to abide in a human being in his fullness. We're looking for his presence. We're looking for the reality of a gospel that has been preached to us for years and years, that has been lived by so many before us, and that has been despised by so many. Even people that were among us left this message saying that they have something better. And you look where they are now. They're not better off. They're worse than ever. But they tried to convince themselves that they are better. They were prisoner of this message. I am prisoner of this word. This message brought me back to this word. Because this word is everything I need to go all the way. When the devil came to Jesus, and said, hey, if you worship me, I'll give you all this world. I'll give you everything. Just bow before me. Bow before me. Jesus answered by the word. He knew he was. He was the word. And he stood by his word. He didn't fall for this stupidity. But people today fall for stupidity. Things that are so vain. Things that brings them nowhere. Things that will bring them to death, to destruction. Amen. Better start. God knows, you know, I am so blessed to know that we serve a God that has made a way for us to be free. And we are free indeed. If you are prisoner right now, it's your own fault. We are not prisoner of our sin. We are not prisoner of circumstance. We are free indeed in Christ Jesus. We have that freedom because what? He paid a price that nobody could pay. The God of all eternity came in a body. He came in a body. The God that makes everything decided, hey, I'm going to make myself a body in a little lady, a virgin called Mary. I'm going to come and I'm going to manifest myself to the world. And I'm going to let them do everything they want to me. I need to pay a price that nobody else could pay. They were sacrificing sheep and sacrificing all these animals for the sin of people. But these animals' life could not come back on us, could not come back on the sinner. But the life of Jesus Christ is so precious. He knew what he was doing. He could have called thousands of angels and destroyed all these people. But he had to go all the way. And he went all the way for you and I to be free. To be free indeed, to have a good time tonight, to enjoy his presence, to enjoy his word. We are free. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Can you imagine? The devil is trying to always condemn us. Oh, look what you did. Oh, look what you didn't do. You didn't pray yesterday. And brothers and sisters, our life should be a prayer. Our life should be a prayer. And you should find a place where you can pray. But yet, as you work, you can pray. As you do things, I remember I was working in a shop. We were making furniture like that, and I was washing the furniture with some varnish or some thinner. And I remember I was singing. And the boss would come. I was alone, and I was singing. The boss would come to me and say, "You're not paid to sing." I said, "I do my job. There's nobody to hear me." "See, you work, don't sing." I just enjoy singing. And one thing I have to say, after a day in the theater, I was singing happily, but I was almost high. But they hate it. I was not bothering anybody. They hate it. And at one point, I hurt my arm. And I hurt it so bad, I had like a muscle, like really hurt. And I told my boss, I said, and I was doing another job. I was piling furniture. I just had, he had moved me another place where nobody could hear me. Really, nobody. But I was putting those furniture as a pile, and I was making like a pyramid. And I was alone to all put all that in the trucks, and just I had the hoarder, and I had to put all the furniture in the truck by myself. And I pulled one muscle, and the Lord told me, said, "Be honest to your boss. Tell him." And I thought, I'll tell him, and he's going to give me a job that is not as hard. And I remember being in the elevator and said, "Hey, Roger." His name was Roger, and he was not a Christian. I said, "Roger, I want to be honest to you. I hurt myself a bit. It just really hurt. But just if you give me a break a few weeks, I'll be able to go back to that job. Give me an easier job." He said, "I'll give you an easier job." Just kick me out. But you know what? I came out of there, I went to where I was living, and I was praising God. And that very afternoon, as I was taking my lunch, I got a call from IBM, said, "Would you come Monday? We'd like to give you an interview for a better job, for a job." Not a better, they didn't know. But I got a better job, paid about $7 more an hour, and you know, God knew all that, and I was honest. And that guy, Roger, became a Christian. Nominal Christian, Baptist, but thank you, Lord. You know, he saw something somewhere, somehow. I hope I was part of the equation. Because you know what? We all are part of an equation. There's people around you that watch you, and they watch you, but they don't say it. But down the road, yeah. You know, I saw that person, and he was different. And if I am ever a Christian, I want to be that way. And you know, you make the difference to others, brothers and sisters. You don't sometimes realize it, but you do. And if you don't, it's because you don't have the experience you should have. Because the experience we have, it's Christ in us, the hope of glory, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We live with Him in us, with Him in us. We are manifesting His work. We are doing His work. We have His fruit. And actually, it's not fruits. We have His fruit, one fruit, which Christ in us, hope of glory. Did I start? I'm so sorry. God is good. You know, you are easy people to preach. I don't even need notes. I was thinking today about that story about eagles. And I'm sorry but I feel led to say it. And sometimes people don't understand. I love eagles. And I know that people think that the bald eagles is the eagles that the Bible talks about, it, but it's not the bald eagle. It's the golden eagle. And those eagles are so beautiful. When you look at a golden eagle, bald eagle, it's a scavenger. Believe me, my wife and I, we were walking by a garbage dump. And I saw the least 1,000 eagle. Bald eagle. And we got closer and closer, and they were eating. And I saw it with my eyes. They were eating in diapers. They were eating everything that was in the garbage. I was like, "Oh, I'm not that. I'm not the bald eagle. I'm a golden eagle," because golden eagle will only eat something that they kill. They will only eat fresh meat. But that story goes this way. It's a Brother Gregory. You remember Brother Gregory? Told that story years ago. But he was talking about an experience he had. Somebody had invited him to see in a valley that those eagles that were in the moped season. Moped or mo? Mo? molting. I said moped, but molting. Yeah, I have a translator. And those eagles are there in that valley, and they don't understand why they are in the valley, because they got so, it's about around 25 or 30 years old, and they are there, and they just start to be losing their feathers, and they start to lose also the ability to breathe normally, because it's a form like a calluses on their nostril, and they lose their water in their eyes. They stop crying. They stop, because an eagle always have his eye really wet, and they can see so far. Brothers and sisters, they have a beautiful vision. They can see things that we will never be able to see at the length they can see. But they are there in the valley, and they don't understand. And they go through that season, molting season. And they don't understand what's going on, but they are dying. Actually, they are dying. They are dying, not understanding what's going on. And that season is a season that all the eagle go through. It's around 25 or 30 years old. And we know the Bible said that the eagle renew his strength. And that eagle is there. And as he's down in the valley, the eagles that have been in the valley before, they come around and they bring meat. Without hair, without feathers, meat, only meat. And they put it right in front of them. Of the eagle. And the eagle, most of them don't eat. But the other eagle are around and just fly around. And, see if somebody was sleeping and they want to wake up. And they just scream and just ask to the eagle and telling them, eat, eat, eat that food. And I actually what happened, maybe 1 out of 10 will eat. And that 1 out of 10 eat without understanding. And that is a type of us, brothers and sisters. Sometimes we are in the valley. We go through troubles, problems, and we don't understand what we're going through. We have all kind of temptation. We suffer. We are in a world where we are attacked day and night. We are attacked. We are under attack all the time. It is going through, and it just we even what we don't see, the waves around, they attack us. Everything is there to destroy us. And there, when we are in the valley, that meat, which is the word of God, in even this message, which is given to us, eat it without understanding. Eat it without understanding. You read it and say, Lord, speak to my heart. I don't understand this word. I don't understand that part of the Bible. I don't understand. And I remember, I might have told you that story, but I feel like sharing it again, if it's okay with you, because maybe somebody needs to hear it. I was a young man, new convert, and I just went for a retreat, and I was fasting, and I just asked the Lord to speak to my heart, and I was fasting. I had fast for 4 days, and after 4 days, 3.5 or 4 days, I just went in the woods, and I went with a t-shirt. It was fall, and something told me, said, be careful. You might be lost in this wood. And, you know, I'm a hunter. And I said, oh, I'm not going to get lost. You know, I know. And if I'm lost, I know there's a lake down there. And I'm going to run all the way to the lake. And I'll find a road, come back to the monastery. It was a monastery, but it was a place to be silent and just to fast. And I start to go in the woods. And I realize I'm lost. The hunter is lost. And then I realize it's getting dark. And then I realize I'm only with my t-shirt. And then I realize it's getting cold. I better run to the lake. I start to run, and I twist my ankle like you wouldn't believe. I twist my ankle, and in space of second, my ankles start to be red, yellow, blue, everything. And I realize I cannot even stand. I'm on my knees and my hands. And I'm realizing I'm going to sleep in the woods tonight. And I don't like it. And I didn't eat for 4 days, almost 4 days. And I'm getting weak. But I'm in the woods. And then I cry. I said, Lord, I don't want to stay in the wood tonight. If you don't send somebody, I'm going to sleep here. I don't want to sleep here. Would you send somebody to me? And I start to hear a rumble. And it gets stronger and stronger and stronger. And at one point, I said, what is that? And God is my witness. There's a Jeep, 4-wheelers, and if I would have not stood, it would have passed over me. And the guy, when I stood, said, oh, he said, what are you doing? I said, I said, God send you here. He said, God doesn't exist. I said, I believe he does because he sent you to me. And the guy was not a Christian, but God will use anybody to bless you. And I remember, I said, I hurt myself. I was praying for somebody to come and help me. He said, I'm here because I'm lost. He said, I'm trying to turn around. I don't find any place to turn around. I said, now that you have me, you can turn everywhere you want because I need to go back to the monastery. And the guy was just cursing, but I said, don't curse. God send you. God doesn't exist, I told you. I said, God exists. You came here. I prayed for somebody. God will use anybody. Will use unbeliever. He will use anything to bless you. He brought me back to the monastery. And when I got there to the, it's an abbey where there's men in there that like a Catholic place. Yeah. An abbey. And they have like the silence. They don't nobody talk. And it's silent. Or you try. And I remember I went to the front and just like this, and I show my leg to the monk, and I said, "Do you have crutches?" And he gave me 2 crutches. He said, "Oh, you're in for a long, long haul. You're gonna." And I had hurt my that ankle, and now it was hurt again, and I said, "Okay." I went to my room, and I remember I lay down. And I prayed. I said, God, I don't understand why that happened, but there's a purpose in that. And I remember laying down. And as I was laying down, something happened to me where I felt a presence. I felt an anointing on me. And I start to hear my Bible's page, like, turning. And I thought, okay, the windows is probably open and my pages are turning. And I got up and I went into my Bible because it was right by the little window, and I had the little bed, and everything was little because it was a little room for a little boy. But anyway, I went to my Bible and it was in the 7 church ages. And I said, Lord. And I was a new Christian. I said, and I was hearing about the message and everything, but I didn't understand 7 church ages. And I look at this, I said, and I read it, I said, Lord, they told me that was something important, but I don't understand it. And the voice told me, said, you don't understand it, but believe it. I said, okay. And I went back to lay down, and I made sure that the window was not open. I said, okay, it was not open. I put back, and I closed my Bible. And I went back to lay down. And my Bible opened and turned. And I came back and I was anointed. There was an anointing on me. And I went and I looked at the Bible and I said, it was on the 7th seal. And I started to read it. I said, Lord, I know it's written, but I don't understand that. And the Lord spoke to me, said, you don't understand it, but believe it. And you know, when you're a Christian, there's many things you don't understand. God doesn't ask you to understand. Like that eagle, when they put that meat in front of them, they don't have to understand. They have to eat it. Eat it to get strength, that they may cry again, get that thing off of their nose, being able to breathe, and being able to see their rock again, which is Christ Jesus. And I was there, and I said, Lord, I don't understand. He said, just, you might not understand, but believe it. And I went back to lay down. And as I lay down, something happened, brothers and sisters, that was so beautiful. I start to feel hands on my head. And the hands were touching me. And it was so sweet. And it was touching my body here. And it went into my legs. And I felt like somebody was just massaging my leg, my ankle. And it was just massaging. And I felt like, okay, something is going on here. And it came back, and I felt like, oh. And I came out of that anointing, and I stood, and I was completely healed. There was not even a bruise on my leg. And I remember going with the crutches like this down, and I saw the monk down out there. I said, look! I showed my leg. I said, look! And he looked at me. It was so outstanding for him, and he couldn't believe it. He said, give me those crutches. Get your stuff and get out of here. They don't believe in miracle, but he saw one. Mm-hmm. He saw one because I was healed, completely healed. But you know what? I want you to understand this. Even if you don't understand, feed your soul. Eat the food that God is putting before you. Eat that meat without bone, without hair. Eat that meat that you may get strength, that you may go forward and serve him the way that he wants you to serve him. Should I start now? Now let's go. Let's stand and read Matthew 6, 19 to 25. I promise you I'm not going to preach more than 4 hours. Promise. Promise. Matthew 6, 19 to 25, so sorry. Lay not up for yourself treasure upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thief break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eyes be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eyes be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two master. No man can serve two master. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Let's pray. Father, we read your word, Lord, and we are blessed just to know that your words speak to our heart. May you just touch us now as we approach this time together, Lord, believing that you are more than willing to get me out of the way. You are more than willing, Lord God, to take each and every one out of the way, that we may in thy presence be blessed, Lord. And whosoever has a need, meet it, Lord God. Just meet it. You know every one of us, Lord. You know where we're at. You know our troubles. You know, Father. And I have that comprehension in my heart that you care. You truly care. Now be with us, Lord, I pray. In the name of Jesus Christ. You may be seated. You love him?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Here it says, you cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve both of them. And we think sometimes, or people think mammon is money. Money can buy a lot of things, but it is not money. It is the world, the things of the world, or the love of money. Money is not something wrong. You need money to do things. You need money to get your grocery. You need money to get your car. You need money to pay your rent. You need money. But it's the love of money when you never have enough. And I see people that they never have enough. And they're not happy. They're miserable. They're miserable. They try to get more and more and more. And they get millions. And they're not happy. And they try to have more than the other. They try to have more. And they're not happy. Money is not an answer to what we need. What we need is God. And God will help us to manage money. Because we have to live with money. We have to use money. But it's the love of the things of the world. The things that are around us that are there. And the things that are there that are trying to take our attention from the Word of God. And there are so many. And I know that you know about it. There are so many things right now that they are there. Just to take your time that you could have with God. Just to take that time that you could consecrate and have a good time with within his presence. God is always waiting. He's a gentleman. He's not forcing himself on you guys. He's not forcing himself on me. He's waiting, and he knows what we need, but he knows that we only have to ask. God will show you and explain the scripture. Sometimes you read something, it doesn't make sense, and you don't understand. Say, Lord, speak to my heart. Help me to understand this verse. Help me to understand what I'm reading. Like Philip, that was in that, or that the man that was in that carriage, and he was reading something, and Philip was brought by the Holy Ghost, and he said, I'm reading this, I don't understand. And God sent Philip to explain to him what the word was saying, and then he said, oh, and he'd show him that he need baptism. And he said, hey, there's water, let's baptize you. And think of it, a man being taken from one place, brought to another place, and the guys brought him into his carriage, explained the word, and the guy baptized him, and then, boom, he disappeared. Would it make you believe? The Bible said him and all his family believe. He was probably a true convert man. He saw something that you and I might have never seen. We saw miracle, but you know, those miracles we see sometimes we kind of bypass them and we don't look at them as miracle. God will put people in your path and make it a miracle. You know, we were supposed to leave Saturday night pretty late. And I told that to my brother and sister here and David and Laura. And, but I said to Cynthia, Cynthia told me, say, hey, it's 2 o'clock. We're almost ready to go. We go? And we were supposed to leave at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And it was 2 in the afternoon. I said, okay, we go. And it changed our whole trip because we were supposed to leave at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And we left, and the place we were thinking to be, we couldn't because we were not, you know, you have a schedule. And in our big RV, you know, the one that has 2 wheels and a bed, the one that my feet touched the end of the RV. But you know what? We are blessed. I'm learned to be happy with what God gives me. And you know what? The one you, when you're happy with God gives you, he gives you more. But I learned. But anyway, we said, okay, let's go. And we just took off. And we just got everything packed and took off. And the next day, we were on the road. And actually, we saw a yard sale. And I don't know if you're like us, but we like yard sale. But we passed by. It was 7:50 in the morning. I said, that's too early for yard sale. But anyway, I said to her, I said, let's go back. I feel like we should go back. And we went back, and we got there. And as we got there, that man that was there said something. What did he say exactly? How did he say it? Beautiful day to enjoy your life if you have health. And when he said that, Cynthia asked him, said, is everything okay with you? And he started to tell all about what he had. He had a tumor in his brain that he had since 93, but never anything happened with that. But he had a open heart surgery that was waiting for him. And then he started to tell us about his dad, that he had lost his dad. And he started to talk about his mother, which had cancer all over her body, and that she should have been dead about a year ago. And he tell us, and as he talked to us and tell us all those things, his mother come, and I think it's his wife, but there was his mother, 73 years old, and she looked very young, and she's like a spring. She really is look healthy. And since we talk with them, and we just realized, and she tells us about all that she's going through and all they are going through, and how God allowed her to still be there. She should have been dead about 12 months ago, and the Lord allowed her to be there for her son that has to go through this surgery. And he was there when she was sick. And you know, and then I just told them, I said, I do believe God had us pass here for a purpose. I said, would you mind if we pray for you? And the guy's, his hat came off, and we prayed for him. And you know what? There was such a sweet anointing. And that in itself is a miracle. God allowed those things. We were not supposed to be there at that time. Yes, we were supposed to be there at that time, because God had in his book, he had written, you have to be there in that very hour, 7:55. Mark will be there. Gloria will be there. And you know what? We wrote him and just get in contact. And I know he's going to be operated the 18th of August, and we're going to pray for him. And guys, if you think of a Mark and Gloria, pray for them. Say, God, you know them. Jean-Louis, talk about them. I just ask for a blessing. And I'm going to call them after the surgery. I'm going to go back and stop. And they ask us, if you pass by, stop and stay with us. And, you know, God knows all these things. And there's a purpose. Are they seeds? I don't know. But they bless us too. I tried to buy a little something. Said, no, you're not going to pay me. He gave it to us. And I said, you know what? You're going to have your blessing. God knows those things. And you know, he takes notes of things that we don't sometimes realize. And you know what, guys? There'll be people there that you will never thought they would be there. And there'll be people there that won't be there that you thought they were to be there. Because it's not for us to judge. It's not for us to put somebody in heaven or somebody in hell. God knows everybody that will be there. And Brother Bram sometimes talked to one of his sons. He was kind of not really nice to the neighbor lady. And Brother Bram said to his sons, son, be respectful because she will be there. She has been good to our family. You know, everything that they have done to you, they will be blessed. remember coming down from the mountain. I had hike, and I had some water with me, and I'd share it with my son-in-law and his father. And sometimes you share, and there was no more for me. And I realized, I'm thirsty. And I was on top of the mountain. It was high, and there was snow. I would have put my head in the snow, but I knew it was not good to eat. I start to run down the mountain, and there was a worker that was working on the pipeline in the bottom of the mountain. I said, "Sir, do you have water?" He had a bottle, brand new bottle in his back, was hot, warm, and he said, "I have one here." I said, "Sir, give it to me." And he gave it to me, please. I said, "Give it to me." And he gave it to me. He said, "Yes, I'm pleased to give it to you." And I look at him and say, "I just drink it all." And I look at him and say, "Do you realize what you just did?" And it just came out like, "Do you realize what you just did? You gave me water. You're going to have a reward for that." He looked at me and said, "Are you serious?" "Yeah, I don't know what it is, if you realize what I was saying." But he said, "The Bible said, whosoever give a glass of water to a son of God will have a reward for it." I said, "Thank you." They don't understand, but we have something that the rest of the world don't have. Anything that is done to you, God will bless those people. We have to be so careful the way we hack around people that the people around us will, if they do something evil, they will realize that they do it evil and they should not, but they'll do it because they are evil. But if somebody look at you and are blessing you, they're going to be blessed. I had people that were evil and did something to me. And I said, "Lord, just forgive them." And boy, it didn't take long. That man had a hole in his hand. We were in the factory. And he was just so rude to me. And all the guy in the cafeteria, when they're alone with you, they ask questions. Say, "Hey, I know you changed religion. What are you exactly?" But when they are two or three, it seemed like they lost their teeth. They cannot talk. Their mouth is shut, everything. But when they're alone, "Hey, we were talking." "Yeah, we were talking, but stop, but it's okay." But you know what? That guy was so rude. And as he was so rude to me, those guys that knew me better, because he was evil, but the other guys, hey, don't do that. Don't. He didn't do anything wrong with you. He's reading his Bible. He has a right to read his Bible. They were defending me. They're going to have their blessing for that. And that very guy, I will never forget. He came out of the cafeteria, the small cafeteria, and we could see outside. It was in the paper factory. I was working like there as a student worker. He just slammed the door. He walked this way, and he came back, and he had a hole in his hand. I don't know where he put his hand, but he put his hand somewhere he should. But he was bleeding. And the Lord said, "Vengeance is unto me." Vengeance. I didn't want him to be hurt, but it's God that has control of everything. If somebody that does something, believe me, brothers and sisters, God is in control. You don't have to do vengeance yourself. No. God is doing the vengeance. And you don't want you don't ask God to hurt them. I was surprised. Later I understood what happened. But you know what? God stand for you. He stand for you. If you stand for him. If you stand for him, he stand for you. That's what it is. We need to stand for him without any compromising. Amen? Now, faith in Hebrews 11. I'm going to go faster, guys. I don't have a clock, but I have this here. Believe me. My phone. I have something in it also that I want to use. Hebrews 11, I'm going to go faster. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtain a good report. Through faith, we understand that the world were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Everything's around us. God is in control. He's in control. In you. That gender things would happen. He knew. You know, in Canada, they're so dumb. I'm sorry. They're going to pay now for people to get gender change in the United States, which would cost hundreds of thousands, but he won't pay for a guy that needs a knee replacement that has been waiting. He's in a waiting list for 2 or 3 years. But these cases of gender change, they are urgent. It's insanity, complete insanity. And people are just gobbing, eating that. You know, they just, okay, that's all, that's good. And they come to a place where they accept such insanity and they will spend money they don't have because they They can make money they don't have. They don't have any gold to back up money. But they don't care because they know it's bankruptcy. Everything around us is bankruptcy. I feel sorry for the young people that don't have an understanding of where we at and where we're going because, you know, there's nothing in front for them. Nothing. This world is, the government are bankruptcy. This politic is bankruptcy. Everything is bankruptcy. We are in the last lap. It's like you there's a run, and you have to run. And the hand is right there. And, you know, everything is, it's getting hard to just get to the finish line. But brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, he will take you to the finish line. I've said that before. You know what? We are in the cul-de-sac. The only way, it's up. That's the only way. That's the only way. We are almost out of here. And I believe that. There's no more time. It's not time to fool around. It's not time to think, oh, I have time for this. I have time for that. Young people so often think like that. The devil get them tricked, believing, oh, I have so much time ahead of me. I have so much time ahead of me. There's no more time ahead of us. We are right at the end of that race. Now, by faith, Abel offered unto God more excellent sacrifice than Cain. We see in Hebrews 11, talking about all those heroes of faith. By faith, Abel. By faith, Enoch was translated. By faith, all these people, they by faith did something where God recognized by faith. They were victorious. They had done something that was part of what God is, and even Jesus called them gods. Those men, and they were gods because they had part of an understanding, a revelation of what was to happen because they were little gods with a little g. And by faith, Noah, by faith, Abraham, by faith, Jacob. Now, in Hebrews 11, 6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently. Did I say it right? No? Yes, pretty good. Diligently. Sometimes I put the accent at the wrong place and made my wife smile. It's okay. Anyway, diligently means ardently. Ardently? In French, we say ardemment. Assiduously, carefully, eagerly, tirelessly, perseverantly, untiringly. You don't get tired. That's what it means when we say diligently. We search God in such a way that it is a question of death or life. You follow me? Simple. I still have half an hour, guys. Hebrews 11, 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction, talking about Moses. He just decided, I'm going to suffer with the people. And he tried to do it by himself, but he said, I'm going to suffer with the people. I don't want the dandy things of Pharaoh. I don't want that the life of Pharaoh. And he tried to do it on his own. We know what happened. But God spoke to him as a victorious person. Now, he said, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. That is so beautiful. People have a choice to have this world. And a world of sin for a season. Only a season. It's only a season. You know, I'm 64. I almost said 63. And I remember, when I came here first, I was 21. But from 21 to 64, it went so fast. When you're young, you think, oh, I have all my life. But you know what? I was telling my wife this last week, I said, I might have maybe 20 more years to hunt. I like to hunt. And I start to calculate, hey, that makes me 84. Getting a deer out of the woods at 84, I don't know if I'll be able to do that. I can do it now still, a pig of 200 pounds, I get it out, and if I didn't give blood before, I'm okay. Because last winter, I tried to get a pig after I gave about 2 liters of blood. I was like, just, it was so hard. I had somebody to help me because I feel like I was lacking blood. I was so weak. But you know what? I was thinking, I don't have 20 years of hunting. Can I hunt at 84, brother? Maybe. I'll hunt at 84, guys. I'm going to confess it. But you know, life goes so fast. I might have 10 hunt left, 5 hunt. I might have something. And you know, things goes fast. Life is so short. Did I lost my... Sorry. That's my pacemaker. Life is so short. And when you get older, years go fast. Years go fast. It just, you don't see months. You don't see weeks. It's already a weekend. It's already past. The month is done. Whoa, summer is gone. We didn't see it. I don't know if you're like me, guys. It goes fast. Everything just fly. Amen. Now, Hebrews speak about those victories, those heroes of faith. It talks about the woman of faith, the man of faith, the guys that this seems like they had such victories. But yet, look at all these guys. David, a man after God's own heart, fell with a woman, Beersheba, had a man, Uriah, kill to take that his wife. Think of it. But yet God sees him as a victorious man, a hero of faith. But he has done this evil. Took a prophet to come, Nathan, saying, hey, David, do you know about this story? A man had so many sheep and the other one had one. And that man that had so many sheep decided to take that man's sheep in order to just bless his guest. And David listened to that. He said, such a man should die. And Nathan looked at him and said, you're that man. You are that man. You have done that evil. But God sees David not with his wrong. He sees David with what he sees him at the end, at the final product. God doesn't look at you with your mistakes. He doesn't look at me with my mistakes. He doesn't look at David with his wrong. He look at David as a finished product, as a son of God, as somebody that has no mistake. He is forgiven. He has nothing against you and I if you came the right way to repent. There are so many people that don't understand that repentance, it's not once in your life. It's every day. Abraham explained clearly that you should come and repent every day. Because we backslid every day in some way, somewhere, somehow. With a look, something, whatsoever, a thought. You have to come and say, God, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. I am a sinner saved by grace. And if you said you have not sinned, you make God a liar. Solomon, a man that had 1,000 or 700 wives and 300 concubines. Thank God for one wife, a good one. I don't know how he did, but you know, he fell for their God. He fell into worship idols. And you know, God looked at him as a victorious man. He doesn't look at his wrong. And you have to understand, because these men, at somewhere, somehow, had true repentance in their heart. They came to God and asked forgiveness. Samson, strong man. Seems like he was strong. Seems like he was... He was not like that. Abraham saw him in a vision. He was a wimp. But he had the power of God upon himself. Think of those door he put on his back, the door of a city, which were probably as big, bigger than this, tons on his shoulder, and brought him on top of that mountain. Did he do it on his own? God gave him that strength. And yet, he fell for the woman of the world. He fell for beauty instead of going for his own people, the Israelites. He just fell for beauty, for woman. But yet God saw him as a hero. He had to put him into slavery, blind his eyes. There's always a consequence for sin, Believe me, David had consequences which were terrible. All his family came against him. He had death in his family. He had all kind of horror. He was cast from his kingdom. Things happen when you decide to do the wrong thing. And if you think of David, well, if you think of it, Bathsheba was probably the woman that the descendants was to come through, because God could have allowed Uriah to be killed in the front, and that he would have married Bathsheba. God could have allowed that. God is able. But David went on his own, and you have to truly take God and put it into a box and do evil. If you want to sin, you have to put God in a box. Say, oh, God is not seeing me. They become so blind because what? They have a lust, and it's the love of something that they should not have that will make them do something that is wrong and that will separate them from God. But God sent a prophet in his grace. And David went into true repentance. He asked God, forgive. And God said, it's a man after my own heart. Samson had to be blind and think of it, what he had to go through. He suffered. He took things, put it in his eye, blind him, burn him. And then he had to do the things around and around and around like a horse, and pulling that day and just around and around. And finally, God in his mercy got him to be back with his power. And he destroyed more Philistine in that death, in his own death, than in his own life, in his whole life. But God looked at Samson as a victorious man. Because he is victorious in God's eyes. Because God doesn't look at Samson with the eyes of the past. He looks with the eyes of the future. What he was in before the foundation of the world. We are going back to what we were. And we were going there, but we were there before. Moses, same thing, lawgivers. But Moses did something wrong. Hit the rock twice. Hit and broke a type, which was Christ, was hit once. But yet God sees him as he's a man after his heart, a man that is victorious in God. Peter, think of Peter. Rebuke God when God told him about, I want to wash your feet. He rebuked God. Think of Peter. Rebuke God when God was trying to tell him, I need to go to Jerusalem to suffer and died. That was the very purpose of his life. And Peter said, no, that will not happen. Behind me, Satan, oof. That is a hard one. Peter probably wanted, ugh. Probably took it hard. He called him Satan. That was Satan. Because Satan doesn't want us to understand that we have full forgiveness. That repenting is only by that which God has done at Calvary. That was the only way. And the devil was trying to not let Jesus. He didn't want Jesus to go there. But Jesus knew what he was doing. But think of what Jesus did when he came back and said, Peter, do you love me? He rebuked Jesus. And he three times he said, I don't know him. I don't know him, with a curse. With a halt. I don't know him. Boys. They were scared to death. They were scared to death. But Jesus came back and said, Peter, I would have loved to see that. Do you love me? Yes, Jesus, I love you. Take care of my sheep. And then he said, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, yes, I love you. Take care of my sheep. I don't know what went through his mind the third time when he said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, you know all things, Jesus. You know all things. You know I love you. Take care of my sheep. God is merciful. And he will always forgive somebody that come honestly before him and ask him forgiveness. And you know, when you repent and ask forgiveness, it's to come before God and ask, Lord, I'm wrong doing that. And it's not to use repenting to go back and do it again, because you know God will forgive you again and again. I know the Bible said that we must forgive one another 70 times, seven times for the same wrong. And God is never short in forgiving. If he was able to forgive Israel when they had done human sacrifice, they were giving their children to sacrifice. But when it came to understand their wrong and ask forgiveness, God was forgiving them and blessing them again and again and again, and as long as they were truly repenting. Repentance means to turn away from your wrong. You do something, and when you don't have the power to turn away, and a lot of people don't have the power to turn away from something because they have been caught into their evil and they have been enjoying their evil. And it's what it is. When people enjoy their evil, it becomes a part of them and they cannot see where God can deliver them. And they finally just put God aside, put him out of their life. But if you come to a place where you realize, you know what? I need to turn away from my wrong. I remember I had an experience with the Lord, and I came to realize that the hard rock music was evil. And I remember I was in my bedroom in the basement, and my brother Daniel was on the other side. We had bedroom side by side, and the wall had no insulation. It was, you could hear the other one. You could hear everything. You could hear them snore, and you could hear them, everything. But my brother put that song, which was from Eagle. And I remember that was a song I really liked when I was in the world. But I just had become a Christian. And I could hear that song on the other side. And I was in my bed, and I was saying, I hate that song. I hate that song. I was trying to convince myself. And I came to a place, I said, you know, Lord, I still love that music. I still have something for that music. I've been listening to it for 10 years. And I remember crying. I said, if you don't deliver me from that music, I'm going to like that music tomorrow morning again. I'm going to like it. And I cry, and I fell asleep crying. And when I woke up, I hate it. I came with an entrance for that rock and roll music, anything that was not godly. And I remember even listening or hearing Christian music with people that I knew or I have heard of. And when I heard their music, I said, there's something wrong with their music. There's something wrong with that music. And that was a song that was saying in four words, let us sing, glory, hallelujah. They had the Christian word on it. Let us sing, glory, hallelujah. But and I said, something is wrong with that. And they were claiming the message and everything like that. And his father was a minister, and he had a studio, and he was recording people's music. And I could not stand his music. There was something. I said, Lord, show me what is wrong. And I remember I was in Texas, and a brother had a lot of equipment to play music backward. And it was in those days that you could play music backwards, and there was message on that music. And I will never forget. We had found a way to play that because it was an album, and we had just put an elastic and turn it and played it backward. That song that said, Jesus love me, Jesus love, and I says, let us sing, glory, hallelujah, let us sing, over and over. Backward it was saying, Satan loves me, Satan rules me, Satan loves me. And I recorded backwards, and I sent it to the brother that had that studio. And I remember I called him. I said, brother, I hope I didn't insult you. He said, I got the tape, and you really upset me. I said, I felt led. And I sent it to all the young people that I had met in Arizona to show them there's something wrong with that. And I didn't know what it was. That music was putting me down. You're a young Christian, and you don't understand. Oh, that's Christian. They sing Christianity. Brothers and sisters, not because they ask Christian words, this is Christian music. And it was like people in the message. But finally he told me, I hear what is on the tape that you said it is. I hear it. But he said, I think it was a coincidence. But I found out the truth. The truth is he had a studio and he could not make his payment. He had promised the Lord that he would not have any music of the world in his studio. And he had Black Sabbath recorded, and they did some things in his studio. There was two or three big group that went to his studio because he could not make the payment. But that is all the devil. And his whole studio was influenced by evil spirits. And even his music became inspired by evil music. Because it is there. Those spirits linger. They stay. They just, they like, and they just attach themselves. Any sickness that attaches itself to your body, it tries to just get your nerve, get your bone, get your brain, get everything that they try to just hold onto you. They're devil. And we have that, which is the word of God that can make us free from those devil. Music, call it whatsoever. Music, demon, sickness. We have the word of God. And he's able, more than able, to deliver us from that. Now think of Cain, Balaam. Think of Esau, Judas. All these people, they were men that were in the Bible. And they were, in some ways, cursed. Because of choices they made. Because even Cain, when you think of it, said, do what your brother did. Do what he did. But there was nothing in him to do what his brother did. He murdered his brother because it was not of God. And Esau, the difference between a man that doesn't have what we do have, that is the man that doesn't have what we have, doesn't have anything to come to repentance. And I want to read with you. Let's turn together in Hebrew. I'm almost done, guys. Hebrew, I want you to see that. Hebrew 12, 15 to 17. Hebrew 12, I'm going to start by 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person. Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Think of it. He sold his birthright for one morsel of meat. For you know that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. There was no more place. Somewhere, somehow, he blasphemed the Holy Ghost. There was no more place of repentance for him. No more place for Cain. No more place for Judah. No more place for Balaam. They just came to a place where they were completely rejected. But we, as Christians, we have a place of repentance. And we are so blessed to understand that the only difference between us and the world is that we can come to true repentance. They can't. Those who are not called out, those who are not going to come to this light or to this the truth, they will not come to true repentance. They will do over and over and over what they love to do. They love darkness. They don't love the light. They don't love the light, which is given to you and I by Christ Jesus, by the word. They don't love the word of God. They don't love to read and to instruct themselves. They don't love to learn how to live. There was a young man in one of my apartments, and he was bad. He was in drug and all that. And I asked him, you have to go. And he left. But I just, when he left, I said, listen, I'm going to write you. I'm going to send you something. Because I saw in him that he was religious. And even if he was in drug, he had a drug problem and all that. I saw that he was religious. And I said, I'm going to send you something. And I've been sending every day almost a proverb. Proverb 1. Proverbs 2. And I speak to him. I said, don't forget, Samuel, his name is Samuel. Wisdom is found in the word of God. If you want to really grow and be one that know God, learn. And I felt led, I don't know, it's the first time I felt led to send Proverbs. And now I'm up to Proverb 28. I send him 28 Proverbs, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and I write him every day a little something. And he just said, it blessed me. And I believe that, you know, you do what you feel led to do. And God knows everything. And if you do nothing, nothing will happen. But if you feel led to do something, something will happen. And if nothing happened, you have done what God showed you to do. God is in control of everything. And I do believe that that will make the difference. Something will happen. Page 2. I'm almost done. Matthew 4, 8 to 10. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdom of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And the result of that, the devil leaveth him, and behold, angel came and ministered unto him. That's the same thing. When you take any kind of temptation that comes your way, and you get a victory in Christ Jesus, angels encamp around those who fear the Lord. Angels are reality. Angels comes, and they love us to talk about them. God is in control of all things. Now, I have the same verse, verse 10. I put it down into the version, which is the Amplified version. I like the way it says in the Amplified version. It said, then Jesus said to him, which is the devil, go away, Satan, for it is written and forever remain written. I like that. It is written and forever remain written. You shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. There's two master, brothers and sisters. And I'll finish with that. There's two master. Only two to serve. Mammon or God. Mammon is the master of lies. God is the master of truth. That's two master. Mammon is the master of confusion. Jesus, God, is the master of certainty. You know where you're at. You know where you stand. You know you have life. You know that you serve a God that is alive. You don't serve an idol. You serve a living God. Mammon is the master of condemnation. God is the master of forgiveness. Repent. Mammon is the master of destruction. God is the master of restoration. He will restore what has been destroyed by the devil. No matter where we're at, when we come to Christ, God restore us. I remember my mind was so blurred with drugs when I was in Christ Jesus. And I asked God, I said, God, take away all the evil I have done to my mind, my brain. I took acid. I took all kind of drugs. And I was so blurred. And I remember I received healing. And my mind became clear from drugs. And I said, and you know what? When you delivered from that, you don't want to go back to that. And when you have a true experience, and I was a young man traveling, and the thing that bothers me the most as I was traveling as a 21-year-old young man, I remember what bothers me the most, it was to walk into churches and see young people not loving the Lord because they had been raised into a Christian family, and they were just by, standing by, and not wanting to have that experience with God. That really was hurting me so bad because I felt like I knew what it was to be in the world. I knew what it was to be in drug. I knew what it was to be an alcoholic. I knew what it was to smoke cigarettes, smoke pot, take acid, take crystal, take all kind of junk. I knew what it was. And I knew that that was death. And I didn't need that. I didn't want that. And seeing young people that were just walking in a way where they were destroying themselves, drinking, yet but being in church, I was so sad to see that. It hurt me so bad. Mammon, master of disease. Our God is the master of healing. There's two God, two that we can worship. Mammon, the master of unsatisfaction. God, the master of contentment. We are so content. I've learned to be content with God, what God gives me. The Bible says prayer and contentment is a great source of blessing before God. When you understand that you're blessed with what you have, you don't, I want. Yeah, you want. What are you going to have at the end? When you are blessed and realize that you're blessed with what you have, you don't desire the neighbor's what he has. And this one, oh, this one has this, I want to have it too. You don't start to compete with people. The devil is the master of wandering. God is the master of unmoving. He's the rock. He's the rock. Nobody move Christ Jesus. When he is in your life, he is the master of being the rock in our life. The devil is the master of war. God is the master of complete peace. We have peace in God. No matter if there was war around us, God is the master of peace. I remember a brother, his name was Brother Nuzzi. He was a Frenchman that came to Quebec when we were really troubled. And I remember we were troubled with the Seven Thunders. And he came and he was showing so much. He was from the era, and I think he was sealed in some ways with the Pentecostal ages. Or Pentecostal movement and the real Pentecostal movement. But he was telling us a story where it was war and bombs were falling all around him. And he just found a culvert, you know, a thing underneath a culvert. And he said he was like that, and he was in the culvert, and it was just, the bombs were just falling left and right. And he remembered, said, God, just send a sign that you're with me. Just send a sign. And as he opened his eye, a lamb came to him, and the lamb just hugged him, just got close to him, and just stayed right by him. And you know what? Even if there's war, this noise of war, we as Christians, we don't worry. Worry has no blessing. No virtue. Thank you, brother. There's no virtue in worrying. I've learned that if you cannot worry when things happen, say, Lord, you're in control. You know what I'm going through. You make a way. You make a way out. It seems like there's no way. God is the master of making a way when there is no way. The devil is the master of hybridation. God is the master of original seed. I love it. The original life, the original seed. He is the original. There's no hybridation with Christ Jesus. The devil is the master of death, and God is the master of life. Turn with me as we close in Deuteronomy 30, 15 to 20. I just want you to sink that very deep within your heart. Deuteronomy chapter 30, let's start with 15. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandment and his statute and his judgment, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your day upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and that thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. The Bible tells us, choose life. Amen. Thank you, Lord. There's two more pages, but I'm stopping here. Let's pray. Father, you know all things, Lord. I try to encourage your people, Lord. there's so much happening around us, Lord, and there's so many things to attract our attention, pleasure, the world and the things of the world, and things that are vain, much vanity that is around us. But as Christian, we have learned to use the world as if we were not, Lord. But you know what we need, and you know what we need to do, Father. First of all, we want to praise your name, glorify you, and give you the praise you deserve in this day where there's so little worship, true worship, Lord. We are needy of you, O God, needy of an understanding of that forgiveness you have for us. For you said in your word that we should repent. So many places, I got about hundreds of verses where it says to repent, to repent, to repent and be baptized, to repent. Father, you love to see your children come in true repentance, where the world cannot repent because they don't have any way out, because they have made their own way, their ways. They are lost in their ways. But Father, we found the only true way, which is Christ Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that way is to look up, for you are our Redemptor, O God. Now, Father, as we each one will go our way, I ask that you may help young people and older and each and every one of us to get to that place with you where you receive glory and honor from our life, from our mouth, from our brain, from everything, Lord, that our whole body may worship you, Lord. Everything that is within us may worship you. You are deserving the praise, Lord. I want to thank you again, Father, for being here with us tonight. Bless you, people, I pray. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank thee again, O God. Amen. There's maybe one little quote as the music goes, I would like to say. As Isaiah said, "Behold my servant," that's in the masterpiece. As Isaiah said, "Behold my servant, my masterpiece, that I have portrayed through all the age of this perfect one coming. And here he stands right before me, a perfect, there in his own image, reflecting God. For he said, in John 14, when you see me, you see the Father." The quote in 69. "And then in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was who hewed out and reflected." Hewed meaning chisel, sculpted, carven, cut. "Him, the Word, reflected in the masterpiece, in his own likeness. God back again in his own likeness. The Word from being reflected in the image of a man. The masterpiece. All the prophet had flaws. All the one was portion. But here at last, coming up through that, finally comes the masterpiece, the perfect one. No fault in him at all, so perfect, reflected of the builders himself. His own image was reflected in his own work. You are his work. God and Christ were one in so much until he put his own spirit into him, and then the image and the builder became one. Now he is putting his spirit in you. God and his sculpture work is masterpiece. When Moses, the sculpture, when Moses was made, the sculpture was in the work of Michelangelo, a sculpture work that was dead because it being made out of stone. But here the master builder, when he got his handwork perfect, he stepped into it. He wants to have preeminence in your life in order to step fully in your soul. You are perfect in Jesus Christ. He doesn't look at your flaws, but he looks at the masterpiece. It's why when we're going to be in front of him, I'm glad that he's not going to look at me, but he's going to look at Jesus. Because I stood for him here on earth. He's going to stand for me up there. Boy, I would not want to go and face judgment without Jesus. I plead with those who have not yet taken that step. Don't even think that you're going to go anywhere if you don't have what he is offering you freely, without money, just to take
that full grace that he has offered us in and out. We are blessed. May God bless you all. Love you guys.
Thank you, Brother Luik. Anybody here would like prayer tonight? Anybody feel the tug of the Lord to repent? I'm always amazed in Acts chapter 11 after Cornelius and his household repented and came to the Lord and received the Holy Spirit. They go back to Jerusalem, and Peter's explaining what happened, and he says it is clear that God granted repentance to them. Do you know you can't even repent until God grants it? Its election is right there. Brother Luik, we love you. And when have you ever, has he come that you have not been blessed? Just, you're always a blessing to us, dear brother. So thank you. Thank you so much. Let's have them come up.
Bye. Oh, really? Okay.
Luik and Cindy, come up, and let's lay hands and pray for them, that God guide them and watch over them and protect them. Would you come up with me, please, everybody? And just, let's send them Godspeed. I haven't either, brother. Never have, never will. Yeah. Amen. Brother Greg, I'm going to ask you to pray over them, would you? Thank you.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we are so amazingly blessed by you. So thankful, Lord, just knowing that we have these moments, encounters with eternity, and this is the point of time. It just seems like you've given our brother abundance of them. We're so thankful for his grace. And Lord, we're thankful for each one here, oh God, that you too would love.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Let's sing one song of praise. I worship you, Almighty God, and let's just express our love to our Lord. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I want to do. I give you praise, for you are blessed be your name, Heavenly Father. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none. Would you sing it one more time? Raise your hands to him. Just love him. We worship you, Almighty God.
I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I want to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. Oh, Heavenly Father, how we love you. You are more than life to us. We love you, Father. You're beautiful to us. You're so lovely. We love what you are. We love what you say. We love what you do. Thank you for calling us out of the world unto you. Thank you for calling us to be a people set aside for you. Totally set aside. Holy, completely in your possession to worship you, to live for you, to listen to you, to obey you, to follow you. Oh, Lord Jesus, we are the most blessed of the world. Now to you be praise and honor and glory in all of our hearts. Oh, Jesus. Father, not just now. Lord, I pray. Let's not walk out these doors and forget this, but to take and walk in your presence and walk in your love and to carry it with us and to be that light you ask us to be, Lord. To be glorified through us, to be glorified in us. Oh, Father, bring glory to your name, please. In all that we are. Now we commit ourselves into your hands. I love what our prophets said, and the angels that encamp around us take their places. Follow each one to your car. Take you safely home. Tuck you safely in bed tonight. May each one of us fall asleep praying and praising you. And may you be the first thought in our morning when we wake up. Grant it, Father. We ask all of these things in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you all.